Hello and welcome to another episode of Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. I'm Alec Mappa. I'm an actor and comedian. I live in Hollywood. I've been married to this man for 20 years next year. But I'm already saying 20 years beforehand.
Round up.
Okay, so we're doing something different today. If you're tuning in for the very first time, welcome, welcome. We are a mental health podcast. I developed this podcast because I struggled with mental health for years and I never got any help because I was embarrassed. So I started this podcast to just talk about mental health, take the sting out of it.
Right.
Take yes, it does sting out of it.
Right.
So Matthew is on vacation. So today,
in tonight's performance, the part of a psychotherapist will be played by someone that has zero. I'm not a therapist.
Experience. this is my husband, Jameson Hebert.
Hello.
It's spelled H-E-B-E-R-T, but everybody...
En français.
Yeah, pronounces it.
Herbert.
Hebert.
Hebert.
We both just had blood work this morning.
A little dipsy, yeah.
Yeah.
Tipsy and dipsy.
Tipsy and dipsy. And so we fasted, and we went and got our blood work together, and then we showered...
Together.
So we're together a lot. Why do you think that works? I mean, some couples would like be like, please go away and don't come back ever again.
I mean, does it always work? It mostly works. I think because we like each other. We like to hang out with each other. I genuinely have fun around you. I'm not going to put any words in your mouth, but I think you genuinely have fun around me. We make each other laugh. We've been through a fuck ton together.
Yes.
Can I say fuck?
Yes.
Okay. Fuck ton together. So I think we've come through so many versions of our relationship. All the itches. We've had all the itches, the one, the 7 year, the all the itches.
Mm-hmm.
We've come through it. We've come through it together. You are a hot mess. This title of this show is 1000% accurate.
How?
Oh boy, here we go.
Okay, here we go. No, that's a good question. That's a legitimate question. This is the interview.
Okay.
Because everybody knows me and they're sick of my voice, but we want to hear from you. I'm interviewing you today.
Well, first of all, you're hot. and secondly, your brain moves faster than your body or your mouth can catch up.
Right.
So your brain is moving on to, for example.
Okay.
Do you remember the one time I said, you don't close cabinets or drawers? You do not, you never close them.
When,
and you're like, what are you talking
when
about?
Sometimes I walk into the kitchen and remember that scene from Sixth Sense where Toni Collette looks away for a second and then all the cabinets and drawers are open.
Yes.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, but I had to go away in order for you to see that. Do you remember? You immediately called me and you said, you were right. I don't. So I think you don't complete things and you're not particularly thorough.
Right.
When it comes to detail or any of that.
Right.
Which is why we work so well together, because I am, as a producer of film and television myself.
Yeah, he's a very big deal.
That's what I do. I fill in all the gaps. I organize everything so that, you know, in my professional world, people can use that as a foundation to succeed. People that are maybe of the same kind of personality trait, of the hot messiness that you are. So I think that's why the relationship works too, because I'm here to run the ship. The ship will always stay afloat. The ship will always be pointed in the right direction, even if there's a storm. But you're allowed to kind of be who you are. And it's kind of cute, to be honest. Fucking frustrating, but it's cute.
Okay, so it's just the medicine cabinets. That's it. It's just the cabinets and the thing.
It's and you know, I'm sure people on this show that put this show together can attest. It's, you know, not checking emails. It's not really ever putting everything all together.
Yes.
It's
my producer's like my producer's nodding her head right now because she's like, I texted you 3 days ago. What to the living fuck?
I feel like I'm now doing a laundry list of everything.
No, this is the interview. This is good.
And then also just the going up back to the completion thing, like I'll say, oh, Alec, I'm so tired. Do you mind finishing, like, just clean the kitchen before we go to bed?
Mm-hmm.
And you do so well of 90% of it. there's always a dirty spatula and a pan, okay, or one of the counters is completely covered. So it's like you're so close to finishing what I ask you to do.
Okay, this is my opportunity to tell a story. So when my husband was working out of the house, he now works out of the house, you know, since Corona came to stay and live on the planet forever and ever.
Right.
When you used to come home, you used to put down your bag and you would spend half an hour cleaning the house. You would pick up the living room, you would pick up the kitchen. And then one day I purposely said, I'm going to get him. And I made this place look like the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. It was spotless. I cleaned all the counters. I put everything away. The living room was perfect. And then I watched you and you just kind of like went around in circles. You didn't know where to look. You were just so frustrated.
Was it that scene in Stepford Wives where she's like malfunctioning?
Does not compute. Does not compute.
Yeah.
Now, when we first got together,
yeah,
I was very messy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
And now, what do you think?
Oh, no. Worlds better. Yeah. America and world. He is worlds better. Okay. But... the beginning was like, okay, let me hold your hand and take you to this closet and show you that this is a dump.
And
a
now yesterday I cleaned out the medicine cabinet.
You did.
And I Marie Kondo'd the linen closet.
You sure did. Thank all you, right. Marie.
Just for the record, I have to put that in. For balance.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Now, you spoke earlier to your attention to detail.
Uh-huh.
Making sure you get everything right.
Correct.
And, running the show.
Uh-huh.
Where does that come from? Where do you think that comes from?
That comes from, it's not, and let me just say this right off the bat, it's not always a wonderful trait.
Nope.
Because I am a bit of a workaholic and a bit of a perfectionist.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to say that. I was going to thought you were controlling and overbearing, but workaholic, sure.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll go there. Well, that'll be the next question. We're going in.
That's the show.
I was raised in a very fundamentalist Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught that
what denomination? Because these people don't know who you are.
It was non-denominational. It was called Church of Christ, not to be confused with the United Church of Christ, which is actually very progressive. This was just a little like
how can it be a church and non-denominational? Because it doesn't fall under the umbrella of any particular house of worship.
Don't tell me what to do. We're going to govern ourselves. I don't know. No one spoke like that, but I just had to do that.
Is Church of Christ a nationwide thing or is it just in your town?
They're just, you know, my parents still go there. So I have to kind of
be respectful,
be careful and respectful of them because I do think it has brought them great joy and community.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents are fabulous.
They're wonderful.
Amazing.
People.
We can talk about them later after this. But my upbringing was so much about me knowing kind of that I was the most damned of all people on the planet, that I had to be the perfect. This is such a narrative with gay kids. I had to be the perfect son. I had to be perfect. So I learned to do everything perfectly. And my sister, who is also amazing and a genius and the best mom and the best person you'll ever meet, she's older than me. She really fucked up growing up. Mm. She was just a mess as a kid. Mm-hmm. She was a nightmare teenager. Mm-hmm. So that also just kind of made me go, okay, I got to stay on track.
Do you feel like at that time when your sister was messing up, like you said, she's mm-hmm. very rebellious.
Yeah.
She had a teen pregnancy.
Yeah.
She had a teen marriage. Mm-hmm. Was that when the perfectionism kicked in?
Do you think it
ramped up from there?
Ramped up because it was already way in place. I mean, as a kid, I had a paintbrush that I dusted my room with.
Oh my God.
That anal.
Huh. All right.
Different kinds of anal later.
So do you actually remember an age where, how far back can you remember you being neat and orderly? And what age, this is a two-part question.
Uh-huh.
And what age did you ever, if ever, connect it to your behavior to pleasing your parents?
Ooh, okay. So I can remember always being very, very organized, very detailed. Toys had to be, it was OCD. To a certain degree.
Yeah, we can't blame it all on your parents.
right. Toys had to be in a particular place. And when I ate, oh my God, I remember this. A Score candy bar was my favorite. Do you mm-hmm. remember the hard?
Yeah, they're like a Heath bar.
Yeah, they're real hard inside, mm-hmm. like toffee. Mm-hmm. I would eat like almost like corn across uh-huh. and then go back. And then corn across and wow. go back. And yeah.
Wow.
So for always and forever have I been slightly obsessive about details and perfectionism. I did not start connecting it to pleasing my parents till I was in therapy for probably like 10, 15 years.
Really?
I mean, even now I forget that I'll be just walking through my day. This is a great example. When you go away on a trip, I yes. want you to come back and I want the house to be the most perfect house you've ever seen.
Oh, it's fabulous when I come home. It's yes. like coming home to a hotel. It's so beautiful.
But that's pressure I put on myself. You never ask that of Mm-mm. me.
No.
And it makes me feel bad sometimes. Like I have to remind myself sometimes purposely to leave things a little bit messy so that I can be okay with how we are in a relationship in that moment and be vulnerable in that.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting that you said that you've always been that way and you connected it that way. It's like people ask me, you know, were you always funny? Did you always have a sense of humor? Mm-hmm. And my version of yours mm-hmm. is I knew that making my parents laugh pleased them to no end. That I knew that entertaining them and made them laugh was the one pleasing thing right. that compensated for me being a big sissy and mm-hmm. that I was ashamed.
Right.
So it was, but I wasn't thinking as a kid, oh, I'm gay. And so I have to make, it's like as a kid, you're just in survival mode.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So it's interesting that your behavior steered towards to the things you could control, the things yes. you could.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't very orderly. I never have been.
We know.
Okay. now, we've been together for a very, very long time.
Uh-huh. Almost 20 years,
what
yes.
do you think your strengths are in the relationship?
Oh, okay. I think my strengths, I think I'm very patient. Mm-hmm. I think I'm very...
strengths. You can't come up with just very patient. That's it. All right, we'll move on. We
That's
can move
all
on.
It takes with you.
Really?
You know, I think I'm patient. I think I'm very communicative.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm, well, you know that. I can't yeah. ever lie to you.
Yeah,
I
no, it takes like if it's very rare that we're mad at each other for more than an hour because yeah. when we get angry with each other, we end up talking about it. But when you're really, really angry, mm-hmm. you're like, go away.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, no.
You're like, I'm so mad I can't even talk to
no,
you.
No, I have a very high tolerance for things.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay very consistent, very consistent.
Yeah. As a parent, to our son, you're very
right.
like that. You got a really slow
right.
fuse.
I have
so
a very
when
slow,
you're
yeah.
mad at our son, it's like, you're fucked.
You remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember when I yelled at him, which I never do? And he was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
I yelled at him and he ran into the wall.
He was so frightened and so kind of unused to you. He was used to me yelling because uh-huh. I yelled all the time.
Right.
But he yelled at him and he was so shocked by the volume that he ran into a wall.
He was looking back at me and ran right into a
Poor
wall.
Kid.
Poor thing.
Poor kid. What
God
were we talking
him.
About? I completely forgot.
When
we get mad.
Oh,
when you
wait.
Get mad at me, you have to be you have to be alone. You're like, I can't talk to you right now.
Yeah. Also, do you want to go back to strengths? Because I have another one.
Okay.
I'm very loyal.
Uh-huh.
Very loyal to my husband. And I don't get mad when people disrespect me or talk shit about me. I just, it's that same thing, that low burn, low fuse.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone says something disrespectful, mean, condescending to you, it makes me very upset.
Yeah, you
or
get,
my son.
Yeah.
Or my son.
You get all Louisiana up in this bitch.
Well, girl.
Yeah. What's the maddest you've ever been at me?
You
can be honest, because that's what this show's about.
The maddest I've ever been at you, we're going deep again, is when you called me out on my behavior about 15 years ago.
Is it that long ago?
Probably. Is before we adopted our son.
Really?
You made me so mad and feel so much shame that I remember I ran to the car. I had no shoes on.
Oh, I do remember. Do you want to go into why?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's
up to you. You don't have to.
No, I think we should. Okay. We're here.
All right.
We're here. Okay. This is America wants to know.
All right.
So, I have issues with, this is also connected, I think, to the church I was raised in and its complete, and I'm not just talking about homosexuality, their view of sexuality, and my sister also suffered from it, and she identifies as a straight woman, just sexuality is bad. Right. Sexuality is never talked about. We never get the sex talk. Like, it's just, yeah, it's really, really, really horrible.
Okay.
So the way that my need for validation comes out is I seek it out in sexual ways. It's not necessarily about love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily about even connection. It's about sex. I want to, okay, here we go. We're going.
Well, listen, I'm a sex and love addict. So,
I think, and this is worth talking about.
Okay.
I think your version of sex and love addict is different than my version.
Okay.
I want to have the biggest dick. I want to have the best muscles.
Well, you're doing pretty good so far.
Thank you, darling.
Too much information. I'm kidding.
No, but I'm being really, really honest
You want praise. You want.
Yeah, I
want
to be the best fuck. I want to be the deepest. Mm-hmm. I want to be the loudest. I want to be all of that. And it's all around sex.
Okay.
So at one point, I was doing a lot of obsessive connecting online with people. And I just was sending pics. And at one point, you came in. And now we're in a different place. But back then, you were like, you just woke up. Like, you're at this again. And just that.
Oh,
triggered
is that what
me.
I said?
Yeah, you're like, you're at this again. And
it
just
was, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning or something like
but
that.
All it triggered was the church preaching to me about
shame.
It's the shame. The shame just roiled through my body. I felt so much heat and I flew off my handle. I think I screamed at you, threw something at you.
You did. You
I
did.
Ran to the car. I was taken off and fucking probably had my boxers on with a penis hanging out.
You
of
went
it.
Straight to you went straight to your car. It was the old car. It was the Mazda.
The Mazda.
And I was in the driveway. I could have been in my underwear too. And I was tapping at the window, like, where are you going? Where are you going?
And I was screaming at you.
Right.
And then something clicked, I think, and I did not leave, but that was probably, I think I just sat in the car for a little bit, but that was the angriest I've ever been at you because it reminded me, I think, of my childhood. I went to a really, really, really bad place.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all I had to say was, you're at it again. But you know what? That's what relationships are. We trigger each other.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you trigger me a lot. Like, there are times where you could just say to me, like, you have toothpaste on your mouth. And if I'm having a sad day or if I'm having, what does Alaska call it? A gushy day. It was something. It was a fragile or a gushy.
Squishy.
Squishy.
It was a squishy day.
Like if I'm having a squishy day where I'm feeling really vulnerable, I will interpret something like that as a big criticism.
Yeah.
And I've had to, what I've learned from you, what I think one of the most amazing things about you is your ability. I've seen you this in work situations and in personal situations and in situations with our son.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take things personally.
Correct. I would say most of the
time.
Yeah.
But like, you know, with when you have a teenager like we do, I mean,
oh
surprise,
God.
We have a mouthy kid. And especially, you know, he went from being so sweet and so affectionate at age 10 to like, all of a sudden I was a waitress at a 24 hour restaurant and I was incompetent. I couldn't get anything.
Yeah.
It was so mean.
Right.
He's a little less mean now, but he still has the ability to be kind of like, and he's not doing it to be.
No.
I mean, it's like you said earlier, his mind is racing faster than his ability to process the present moment. So when he opens his mouth, he's not saying this might be hurting my dad's feelings.
No.
He's just saying, what do you want? You know, it's just kind of like, what I learned from you is not to take things personally. Is that you've made me want to get better at that.
Okay.
You make me want to be a better person.
Great.
That's what Jack Nicholson says to Helen Hunt.
Right.
In As Good As It Gets. Is there anything that you've learned from being with me?
I have learned from you that you offer yourself in a way that I don't.
How so?
You offer, you're a whore. No. You offer.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
Okay, good. You offer yourself in your emotional relationships in a way that I'm a little guarded.
Still,
but better.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you for that.
No, I'm saying still, like question mark. Still.
Oh, I thought you were still judging me.
No.
That was not. That was your inflection.
No. That's not what I meant.
I'm triggered.
That's not what I meant.
Cancel Alec. So. Yeah. So what was
guarded how? Guarded how? You say I offer myself up emotionally in relationships.
Correct. I feel like you really
open up right away.
And it's more intimate relationships because I feel like I offer myself to my friends and I offer myself in, you know, in the similar way that you offer yourself to friends. But in an emotional relationship, I think you are more vulnerable around me than I am around you.
Oh.
Part of that is me putting up the perfection shield.
Oh.
But I feel like, you know, just you're more touchy. You're more, more sentimental. You're more, I don't know. There's a better sentiment there that's more loving and more vulnerable than I'm not explaining this right. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, you're not huggy.
No.
You don't cuddle.
No.
And I like both those things. So like when we haven't had any alcohol in 8 weeks.
Correct.
When I'd get drunk and want to cuddle up with you and you'd push me away, I was too drunk not to take that personally. And I'd be like, you don't love me.
That's August and Osage
then,
County.
And then that makes you even more remote. You would pull back even more. But every once in a while, you will be affectionate with me like this. You'll put an arm around me like that, or you'll run your... And I'm always like, oh, there he is. But you're very kind of like,
you like me.
You're very choosy about those moments.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think that is? Because your parents were both very affectionate with you. And and also we joke about it. Like your parents kiss on the lips.
Oh, child. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because my dad's from New Orleans where your family gives you a lap dance at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No, we kiss each other on the lips. It's just a very French.
So why are you such a cold fish? Why are you so uptight?
Cause I'm a bitch. No, I'm, I don't know. I think it's part of the shell. It's part of the, you know, here's the thing. I'm 40. I just turned 44 this week. I'm still processing all this. Like, you know, I wish Matthew was here to help me.
You're
but
too
maybe
old.
Perhaps
you're too old.
I'm too old for Matthew to help me.
No, you're too old to process things. You should. I'm saying that at this age, you should be better at this by now.
Oh, got you. Okay. I should be like not needing therapy.
Not needing at all. No.
I'm done. I passed.
We're both in therapy, by the way.
Yeah. We're in a lot of therapy.
And we're in couples therapy. I'm getting to that eventually.
Okay. So
aren't I doing well with this?
Don't you're you think doing I'm doing really, really well. I hope I'm a good guest because I'm no, you know, I'm no like Alaska. Or I'm no, who else have you had on?
Okay, we're talking about your vulnerability.
Okay.
You're deflecting is what you're doing.
Yeah,
right
see,
now.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's true.
And your vulnerability is that's where in the imperfection, that's where your genuine self is.
That's correct. Yes. And I will say, because we did stop drinking 8 weeks ago, I'm feeling it a lot.
Yes.
And I have to be careful because I've been, again, communicating with people online and, you know, sending things and it's anonymous unless someone's listening to this and they'll probably put two and two together. Mm-hmm. But I have to be very careful. And I don't know why I'm afraid to be vulnerable. I think that's a universal...
I don't know why you're afraid to be vulnerable with me. Like, you've seen me at my absolute lowest, my worst, my, you've said one time, I've said this about you.
Yeah.
That I will always be in love with you. I can't see myself ever leaving you unless I lose respect for you.
Oh, yes.
And you've had times where you say, when you behave this way, I lose respect for you.
That is a key.
Now, are you afraid that I will lose respect for you? Is that a fear if you're vulnerable?
I think it's a general subconscious feel of fear of loss that everyone is afraid, I'm speaking for myself, of being vulnerable. But I mean, can I ask you, I'm more vulnerable around you now than I was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, wouldn't you say?
Okay.
Do you see me showing more of myself?
Yes. Yes. Yes, you're more like you, when you're angry with me, you tell me when you're angry with me.
Yeah.
You're not afraid to have the uncomfortable conversations. I'm trying to figure out when you are vulnerable with me. I'd say in the way we talk about things out loud.
Yeah.
All right. This is something I've been meaning to get to because.
Okay. Yeah. Bring it.
In a lot of queer relationships from the outside. We are in an open relationship.
Correct.
And that means we are, what does that mean?
Polysexual.
And people think that means that we're just out having sex with other people all the time. And we're, and that's absolutely true. No, yeah,
sometimes.
It's a really hard thing to describe to, well, I guess it's not that hard to describe. Here's the thing. I'm going to say my version of it. And then
yeah. Okay, sure.
Jamie and I were monogamous for 14 years. We've been together nearly 20. So for 14 years of that, I didn't have sex with anybody else but you.
Yeah.
Having said that, you're the first person. And the reason we did is because you were the first person I ever met who was just as sexual as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like having sex with you.
Oh, me too.
Did you see how I put that in the present tense?
Oh, I burped. Sorry. Yes, I like having sex with you too, and me.
Physically, you're my type. Uh-huh. You're tall. Yeah. You're thin. Yeah. You're muscular.
Check my boxes.
You got those big old feet, and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So for 14 years, we were really, really great, and are great. And then we kind of decided maybe it's time to open things up. And when we did that, it meant a lot of negotiation. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
There were rules in place. Mm-hmm. So for me, the short version, long story long, is that we are open, and that being physically sexual with somebody else is not a deal breaker in our relationship.
No.
Given that we've raised a child, we've bought a house, we are married, we like when I hear that people are breaking up because somebody slept with somebody else, I'm kind of like, is that it?
Well, that's their agreement.
Right.
You know, everyone has their own agreement. Our agreement changed. And
what do you think changed it?
I think maybe both of us, but you for sure were just being presented with a lot of opportunities.
I was?
To have sex. You were going on a million gay cruises. People were asking. Yeah. Don't you remember?
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I felt like. I felt so secure in our relationship after 14 years.
Okay.
And I thought, wouldn't it be kind of fun if I let Alec, because I was thinking more about you, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be fun if when Alec goes out of town, he doesn't feel like he can't do something if he wants to, because I feel secure and I feel like this is just an and, not an or.
That a lot. It's an and not an or.
Yeah. That's just the way my brain works.
Okay.
But so we talked about it. And the most important thing in our open relationship, I guess it's going on 6 years.
6 years? Oh, my God.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to navigate. It's not easy. But the number one thing is communication. We have rules for every step of the way. So it's so annoying. But every time he goes out of town, for him and me, because I may be presented with something when he's out of town, is... remember our rules, and they change. So during one trip, it's this, and during another trip, it's this. But we have to constantly communicate those rules, because there was a time when you kind of slipped on two of the rules and it really made me feel uncomfortable.
What were the rules I slipped on?
It was about not having sex with someone twice. This is early on. Yeah.
Who did I have sex with twice?
And I don't remember. And then there was another one I don't exactly remember. I'm not saying...
Listen, I think this is an inaccurate memory, and I just have to step in and defend myself because I can't remember that.
Fake news.
No, the number one rule for us on both of this is that we have to discuss it, which is the most unsexy thing you could ever possibly imagine.
Exactly.
Because the only thing that makes sleeping with somebody else when you're married is the sneaking around.
Yeah.
So it's really like a real boner killer.
Yeah.
To have to kind of go, all right, this is what happened. But what it does is it actually lessens the desire for me, knowing that I can.
Hmm.
And here's the thing. Like, when I would go on a cruise, I literally, like the very first time we opened up our relationship, 14 years ago, I was like, it was six years ago, so I'm 50.
Ago. Yeah.
And I'm I'm overweight. I don't feel good about the way I look. Nobody's going to want to have sex with me. So I'm totally cool with this arrangement. And then I learned that gay men have absolutely no standards whatsoever. No, I did all of a sudden. And my agreement with myself is I'm not going to do anything unless it happens in an easy manner.
Right.
And so since then, I've had other experiences. But what it's done is it's made me, in hindsight, I'm looking back and I was going, that was really about ego. That was about validation.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the old kind of sex and love addiction thing you were talking about, that like seeking validation outside of yourself.
Yes.
It wasn't necessary. I was like, that didn't need to happen. That happened because I was feeling such and such a way.
I'm sure we've talked about this, but for our viewers and our listeners, mm-hmm. have you had a relationship where...
Oh, you're asking a question now.
Yeah, no, I mean, not a relationship in quotes, meaning 5 minutes to 2 hours long. Have you had a sexual experience in this open relationship where you felt like it was healthy and it did add and it was fun and it wasn't at all about any deficit? It was actually about just adding pleasure to your life.
Yes, I have had that.
Okay.
Most of the time you were there.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. That's fun. That's fun.
Yes, I have had that, but that's few and far in between. So, like, even now... I had an opportunity to see somebody this summer.
Right.
That I had previously.
Correct.
Who lives on the East Coast. And when it came down to it, you were expressing your misgivings.
Yes.
And I came to the conclusion that it wasn't worth it. I was like, this is turning into something more consequential than I intended it to be. And in the interest of keeping peace between us, I foregoed it. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. But I think it's like there have been times where we've gotten it wrong.
Yes.
There have been times where we've hurt each other a lot in the process of doing this.
Yes.
But it has forced us to be even more honest about why are you hurt?
Yeah.
Why does this bother you?
Yeah.
Why is this an issue? And I would say 100% of the time we come out on the other side.
Yeah. And I can't recommend couples counseling enough. We are in couples counseling to help. And, you know, we're going tomorrow. We're in really good shape as a couple. Mm-hmm. This is just part of our
You
new
don't
life.
Have to be sick to feel better.
But the couples therapy just helps us navigate. It's just so important to have a professional moderator in the room, help us listen to each other. Because when we're talking about it, sometimes like just in our kitchen, we get really triggered.
It's too loaded.
All of our sex stuff, all of our love stuff, all of our childhood trauma, it just all comes up and it's not good. So we go to couples therapy.
Okay. This is a good question from my producer.
Yeah.
She says, if it's risky and sometimes hurtful, why do it? Maybe hard for people to understand.
Sure. And I think that's a great point. We're still figuring out if it is for us.
Do you know what it is for me? I just have to answer quick while the answer's in my head.
Do it.
Is I love you so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to put that restraint on you.
No. Yeah.
That I love you so much that I, you know, like you said, you were thinking about me. And maybe this is because we're both guys. that we don't have a heterosexual dynamic to us. I mean, there are heteronormative type homosexual relationships.
Yes.
Where they are like, no, if we're just like this. To me is, I trust you and I love you. Uh-huh. And this is the one thing I don't take personally. I don't take personally because I've seen you kiss people in front of me. Uh-huh. I've seen you flirt with people in front of me.
Yeah, but you like
and
that.
And I actually take a little bit of pleasure in that. And if that's weird, I guess that's weird. But for me, it comes down to my love and respect for you and my trust for you is I don't want to put that restraint on us.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be, that's not a deal breaker for me.
Correct.
Because you and I built up so much equity mm-hmm. in our in the lives that we've built together. Yes. Now, I'm not saying that if a partner betrays you or if somebody sleeps with somebody else and that's not your arrangement, you shouldn't be hurt by that. Or those feelings aren't valid.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's not who we are.
Right.
And when we are hurt, that's an opportunity for us to talk about it.
That's right. I would say the evolution of our rules around the openness of our relationship is what makes us hurt less as it goes along. So it's like you said, we're learned from it. We've had many instances where we've gone, oh my God, that was amazing. Like that, congratulations for you. I'm so happy for you. That must have been amazing. Tell me all the details. And then we've had moments where it's been, that really hurt me. You told me this in a way that, or you broke this rule or whatever it is. So we take that to each other. And oftentimes we're taking it to each other at our couples counseling. And
our counselor is hilarious. He is stone faced.
Yeah.
And he just sits there and he listens and he barely talks.
I thought it was a mannequin.
In our session. But it's so funny because like the less he talks, the more we talk.
Yeah.
And then we've had like sessions where he hasn't said a word and we both leave going, I feel so much better.
He's so invaluable.
But I think the value of having a mediator and talking about stuff out loud is everything's out in the open. I think that what's harmful to relationships is unspoken resentment.
Yes.
Unspoken resentment.
Yeah.
I think that if you have something unspoken between you, something that's been bugging you that you never talk about, that's cancerous. And that's gonna erode your trust. Mm-hmm. That's gonna erode your affection.
Yeah.
That's gonna erode your love. And having said that, there are a number of things I need to talk to you about. No, I'm kidding.
Here's my list.
Yeah, you're a cold fish and you're controlling and you're
and you smell.
No, I think that it just gets everything out in the open. Mm-hmm. So, but there, you still surprise me. You still surprise me.
Well, and I think that's, I mean, honestly, I 20 years, we're going on 20 years. It's a long time.
That is a lot. That's
it's a
big
long
hunk of time to be with anybody.
Especially for a gay relationship. Now, you know, I don't know. People take that for what you will. Don't judge me. I'm just saying for a gay relationship, that's a long time just based on anecdotal information. Mm-hmm. But what keeps it fresh, I think, is we are the worst. We didn't even go into it here. Maybe that's part two.
We're the worst one.
We're the worst. Like our sense of humor is never too soon.
Horrible.
The things we say, I hope our smart TV is not listening.
It's real, like we would be canceled immediately.
Oh,
it's just like
canceled.
Yeah,
we canceled.
We both have a really wrong sense of humor.
So we're both there. Which makes us laugh till we pee. Mm-hmm. We're both very honest. I'm extremely invested and interested in your growth as a person. And I think that kind of that goes back to the open relationship thing.
Yeah.
I know it's not all about me. I know I'm the most important in your life, right? Mm-hmm. So we've built something that I feel like at this point is indestructible. Of course, that's
I've learned
not
never
true.
To say that out loud. Oh, Jesus.
Should I knock on
no,
something?
No, it's pretty strong. It's pretty, yeah. The foundation of our relationship is very firm.
Yeah. So I think that's what keeps us going. And
I think also we've changed together a lot. You said that this isn't the relationship that we started out having. No. You were a kid when I met you.
24.
You were 24. I'm 12 years older than you.
Yes.
And now I feel like you're 12 years older than me.
I was always emotionally older than you.
You were always emotionally older than me. I think for me, you're always fun. like when you're not here or when I'm on my own, I don't know how to have fun. Like I have to go, okay, figure it out. How do I have fun without you?
You just walk around going, I'm not so bad.
I'm not so bad.
I'm not so bad.
Okay. what did I want to ask you? There was, I had one more question. I have a couple more questions that I want to ask.
Okay. Bring it.
All right. So we've been together this long. Your parents have been married forever.
50 years.
My mother passed away in 1992. They were married for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Have you taken any parts of the relationship that your parents had and modeled it to us? Modeled that in our relationship.
Oh yeah. Loyalty. For
just
sure.
Not be uptight about sex part.
Oh my God. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah.
Loyalty. My parents love each other so much and put each other first. And I've always seen that since the time I was a kid. And I think I've translated that pretty well into our relationship. Mm-hmm. What would you say you learned from your parents?
Relationship-wise,
how to beat yourself up.
Do you know what? I don't really think things out, but I know that I just look at you and I love you. And that sounds simplistic, mm-hmm. but I look at you and I'm like, oh, I have so much respect for you. Oh. You have a lot of empathy. He's one of the most ethical people ever. And being ethical is inconvenient. Because the lack of ethics is like a shortcut. It's like, no, just go to that other line. It's shorter. You know, it's like, no, but I've been waiting here. And you just such an, I'm not making a very good example of that, but you will go out of your way to be an ethical person when any other person would like go, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck ethics.
That's also from my parents. Yeah. Though. That's not necessarily about my relationship, but my parents are the most ethical, the most, they put the good of the world in their thoughts at
yes,
all times.
Yes.
Which is why I think the church didn't hijack their brains. Even though they still go, it's a weird thing, but
right.
My parents always will think of their neighbor. They will always think of, us. They'll put so many people before them. So I think that's where I get that kind of ethical strain.
Also, you think farts are funny?
DNA. I think farts are hilarious and poop.
Fart and poop. Like we couldn't have lasted this long.
Mm-mm.
If,
no.
You know,
our pillow's back there.
Right.
You can't really see it.
It says a fart is a wish your butt makes.
That's from a good friend of ours.
A sampler pillow. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is like, as long as I feel safe and secure in our relationship, and a lot of it has to do with how much respect I have for you. And anytime we've been on shaky ground, it's because that respect has been at risk.
Yeah.
Where we've kind of pushed the boundary of, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the most dreaded words in every relationship. We need to talk.
Uh-huh.
And we're always talking.
You and I are always talking. And most of the time it's, we need to talk, we're out of coffee.
Right.
But sometimes it's, we need to talk, like, this is gonna get real.
Yeah, or it's like, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
We're near the end of this already.
I can't believe it. I have so much more to spill.
We're in a Cal King bed. He doesn't want anything to do with me. He's already on the other side of the bed. Do you know that when I can't sleep, I hold on to your arm?
I know.
Your bicep.
And I'm like, ew. To be fair, the dogs are also on top of me.
I wasn't talking about that.
America. So, there's a lot of people that want to touch me.
Okay. Final question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want the world to know most about us?
About us? About, oh, my God.
Yeah. What do you want the world to know? What do you want, people to really take away from us as a couple?
that I think that we are just as strong and just as strong as individuals as we are as a couple. Oh. And I think that's extremely important because I think there are people out there that get lost in their relationship or lost in their family. And I think it's extremely important. I have my own thing. I garden. I am a producer. You know, I don't have social media. So when people
he's invulnerable. He holds his feelings in.
I'm cold. Uh-huh. I'm calculated. No. I don't have a social media presence. I don't have a big presence out there in the world. So mm-hmm. I think people think of me as Alec Mappa's husband, right? And I certainly get that at events and such.
Okay.
So I think it's important for people to, and I'm not saying that's what I'm talking about here, but what I'm talking about is in your everyday life, if you're in a relationship and or you have a family or any of these, any kind of orbit that you're kind of trying to keep together, I think it's extremely important to have your individuality be as strong as your couple, be as strong as your family. Those are all three different things that I think people get lost in. They focus on one and not the other. So they focus on their individuality.
And then everything else suffers.
They focus on their family and they have no life. Or their marriage suffers.
Or they focus on their kids and they feel neglected.
So I think you and I have created a really strong individuality about each of us. Mm. And really invested in each other and really invested in our family. And I think we're a better couple because of all that.
Wow. That was extremely long-winded. I was struggling to stay away. It just went on and on. I'm kidding.
I hate you.
That was your hot message for the day. And it was very, very good.
Okay.
Good job pooping.
Thank you.
I would add to that. I'd piggyback on that. Mm-hmm. I usually say that, Matthew, piggyback on that because you're big. Mm-hmm. Oh, we didn't talk about how hot Matthew is. We were supposed to spend the whole podcast.
I know. He's going to listen to it and he's going to cry.
He's going to be devastated. He's like, why aren't they talking? He says that he doesn't like it. He doesn't like being objectified.
Oh, no.
He likes it. So
I'd like to eat his face, but not like in a Hannibal way.
Yeah.
Like a soft eating of
squishy
his face.
Way.
A squishy way.
I would say that we don't have any more or any less problems than anybody else.
Correct.
That we've negotiated a lot of really rocky territory.
Yes.
But I mean, we've had money. Uh-huh. We've been broke.
Yep.
We've been sick. Yep. We've had a kid. Mm-hmm. We've had gone through a million things with that kid. But the difference is that at the end of the day, we both put in the work.
Yes.
We both put in the work and it's work. Marriage is work, but so far it's worth it.
So far. I'm kidding.
No, it's worth it. We got to wrap this up. Listen, Matthew, if you ever listen to this.
Yeah, we love you.
I missed you. Again, this is the Hot Mess podcast. Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about mental health, the real stuff. If you're a first time listener, thank you for listening. Don't forget to download and subscribe.
Yes.
I just want to take the embarrassment out of talking about mental health. We're living proof that you can't die from embarrassment.
That's right.
All right, tune in next week for more Hot Mess Fun.
With Matthew. Does he know we have an open relationship? Just saying.
This has been a Stage 29 podcast production. The podcast is executive produced by Patty Ciano, Lafern Cusack, and Stephanie Kaysen. Our audio editors are Jackson Ruff and Jonathan DeMatti. Callie Kelts is the social media producer. And a special thanks to the rest of our podcast crew, Rwani Horenige.
This podcast has been produced by Stage
Lisa
29
Clark,
Productions for
Kenny
entertainment
Brown,
purposes
and
only.
Morgan Kaler.
Contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice, do not reflect the opinions of this company, any of its parent companies, affiliates, subsidiaries, promotional sponsors, or advertising agencies. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. For more information, please go to stage29.tv.